Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska. It's great to be back with our listeners once again today. So thankful to have this opportunity for us to be together. Over the radio waves, open up God's Word, study a little bit further, learn a little bit more, dig a little bit deeper, and grow in our faith. Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to teach God's Word and study God's Word openly. And it's not that way everywhere in this world. So we need to cherish this blessing and never take it for granted, and pray that God will continue to bless us in this way always. We encourage you to tell others about the program. Encourage them to listen. Now, we know that there are people who cannot always tune in to the times that the program airs over the radio waves, even though we're on quite a number of times a day, 5 days a week. But there is a way that people can listen even if their schedule does not permit them to tune in at those prescribed times. Tell people to go to our website, and you take advantage of this yourself, www.churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. Now, as we keep emphasizing, we're not after your wallet. We want to help people get to heaven. There is no charge for signing up for our podcasting, for accessing all of the teaching material on our website. It's free. It always will be free. And when you sign up for our podcasting, you will automatically receive Search the Scriptures, this radio program. It'll automatically go to your smart device, whether that's your phone or computer or whatever device you choose. But you'll also receive a great deal more Bible teaching in the same way. And again, it will always be free. So take advantage of that and ask your, tell your friends to do so as well. We encourage you to come and check us out in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. We're located at 3606 North 108th Street right here in Omaha. Bible classes begin Sunday morning at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. 6 o'clock Sunday evening, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study. And then on Wednesday evenings, middle of the week, 6:30 each Wednesday evening, midweek Bible classes. You're welcome to any and all of these services, and we hope to see you and get to know you soon. We're going to finish up our particular line of study right now under the general theme, heart troubles, and that is problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. We've talked about a whole bunch of them already, and some of these might have raised some eyebrows from on the part of some of our listeners, thinking, well, I never thought about that being a heart problem from a spiritual perspective, but they all are. Laziness is one of those. Anger, hatred, fear, gossip. And in this particular section, we're going to finish our study on worry. Worry. We've talked about how we worry incessantly as a culture, our nation, right now. We are worriers. And worry clouds our vision. And yet we're instructed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we looked at that particular text, and we're going to conclude our study today and on this section by going back and looking at that a little bit more closely. But worry seems to be about as normal for us as far as, you know, an emotional reaction is concerned, as is joy and sorrow and fear and excitement or a whole bunch of other common emotions. In fact, for some people, worry is probably a more commonly felt emotion than is love. Now, how sad that is. How sad. Well, we have looked at some classifications of worry. What do people worry about? And the first one we looked at was we really worry over things that have already happened. And so we tried to make the point and emphasize the point in that particular section of our study that, hey, worrying about it cannot go back and make it not happen. It's already happened. Cannot undo what has already taken place. So why worry about it? Now, are there times when we can say, this has caused me sorrow? This has caused me concern? Well, sure. but we can take proactive steps to try to deal with those emotions, with those realities, but we can't make it not have happened by worrying about it. The second classification of worry that we looked at is we worry about things that almost inevitably will happen. So we worry about things that have already happened, and then we worry about things that almost certainly will happen. Okay? We're going to get older. Unless we die first, why worry about that? We're going to die physically, just as sure as we were born physically. Worrying cannot stop that, unless the Lord comes again first. If there's a hurricane coming toward you, of course, we're not going to see that in Omaha, Nebraska, but what about a tornado? Yet we cannot stop the weather by worrying about it. We hear all of this, you know, gloom and doom about climate change. It used to be global cooling, then it was global warming, and now it's just simply climate change. Can we stop any of that by worrying about it? If we look back in the statistical records through history, we find that there have been cycles of nature that have changed regularly. Can we fix things by worrying about it? Things that almost inevitably will happen. You know what? August comes around every year, it gets hot. We can't stop that. January comes around every year, it gets cold. We can't stop that by worrying about it. A hurricane's coming your way, you can't stop that hurricane by worrying about it. Tornado's bearing down on you, worrying about it's not going to stop. Now, you can take shelter in those cases, but worrying about it's not going to stop it from happening. You see, over and over again, we tend to worry about things that almost inevitably will happen and things over which we have no control personally. Now, the third classification of worry that we looked at and began to look at is we worry about things that probably never will happen. Never will happen. Again, Mark Twain is quoted as having said, "I have worried over a great many things in life, the most of which never happened." Again, might the Earth be hit by an asteroid? Now, there's no report of that coming, one of those coming our way, but should we worry about that? Should we worry about that? You know, might I get hit by a car or a truck or run over by a train? Is it possible? Yeah, but do I need to worry about that? Just take precautions. What about getting struck by lightning? That could happen, couldn't it? Do I need to worry about that? Almost certainly will never happen. Why worry about such things? Well, what can we do? We can walk in God, with God in faithfulness. We can walk with God faithfully confident that He will never leave us as long as we do not leave Him. James 4 and verse 8. We can cast our cares, our worries, our anxieties, our concerns on Him. He's got bigger shoulders than we've got. And we know as we do that He cares. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. When Jesus sent the apostles on the Great Commission, He promised them, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28, verse 20. Now, He's telling this to His true, faithful, obedient followers, true Christians. God has assured the faithful Christian, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And the writer goes on, "So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. What an incredible assurance God gives us that we don't need to go around worrying all the time, and especially about things that almost certainly are never going to happen. Do we believe God? Do we trust Him to keep His word? Then don't question that belief by worrying about things that almost certainly will never take place. We can deal with potential worries by doing the best we can to prepare for the unforeseen. Are we going to die physically? Unless the Lord comes again first, yes. Okay, what measures can we take to get ready for that? Well, we buy life insurance, don't we? We try to save money to pass on to our loved ones, you know, after us, our wife, our husband, our children, if they're still living with us, so that they'll be taken care of. We can personally take measures to ensure our well-being to the extent that we can reasonably do so. We can purchase insurance policies. We can provide financial safeguards for ourselves and for our families in the event of illness, accident, or death. Best of all, we can pray to God for His care, for His wisdom, for His guidance, and for His protection. And always understanding that nothing is impossible for God. Luke 1 and verse 37. God's ability to intervene on our behalf is far beyond anything that we can conceive in our finite mortal minds. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul wrote that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or even think. Through faith in God and Christ, we can do what needs to be done. Philippians 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul, after saying in the previous two verses, I've been up, I've been down, I know what it's like. Verse 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in the end, I can achieve total, eternal victory. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. We can also keep our focus in the big picture, remembering always that this world is not our real home, that heaven is our ultimate destination. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We need to take care to not become too comfortable with life in this world. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 6. We need to stay focused on serving God and getting to heaven. This world is going to pass away. Our life on this earth is going to come to an end. But God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, heaven, they're all eternal. And that ought to be our ultimate goal and focus, being with them in heaven. Heaven will eliminate much of the opportunity for worry and anxiety over things that pertain to life in this world, much of which we can do relatively little about. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We should remember the words of the old hymn, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And we use this as something of a base text for this study. Three times in this text, the Lord gives us specific instruction not to worry. Verse 25, verse 31, verse 34. Twice more, he reasoned against the futility of worrying by asking rhetorically, if it can make any positive difference in a matter. Verses 27 and 28. His words are certainly intended to encourage us that we don't need to worry all the time, and that worrying does not fix things in and of itself, on its own. Worrying in and of itself cannot stop things from happening that are going to happen almost without question. We can take the proper precautions to guard against natural disasters, guard against ultimate physical death, prepare ourselves, prepare our families for that eventual reality, but we can't stop it from happening by worrying about it. We can enjoy life as God has designed it to be enjoyed in a faithful relationship with Him. But this life, this physical life, will come to an end. So Jesus says, hey, you can't get any taller by worrying about how short you are. And I would suggest this to you as well. You're not going to lose weight by worrying about how overweight you are. You can take the proper steps to deal with that reality, but worry is not going to change things. Our Lord's words are certainly intended to encourage us. But are we to understand the Lord's teaching here as mere suggestion? Is he just giving us some good ideas? Or should we take it as binding upon us as we strive to live faithfully before him, demonstrating our trust in him by living by these instructions? Now, if so, we should do our best to obey his instructions to not worry. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Worry demonstrates a weakness in our faith. Have you thought about that? Incessant worry demonstrates a weakness in our faith. Jesus notes how God takes care of the birds of the air in this text, Matthew 6 and verse 26, and the beauty with which he arrays or adorns the lilies of the field, verses 28 through 30. And these are examples of how God can care for us. If he cares for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, mere animals and also mere vegetation or flowers or plants, then how much more should we emphasize in our mind, and really this text emphasizes, that we are more value than they, verse 26 and verse 30 says. Failure to recognize these facts indicates weak faith on our part. Verse 30. Jesus also reasons that God knows that even unbelievers, and that's the identity of behind that word Gentiles, Jesus reasons that God knows that even unbelievers need the basic necessities of life. Well, if God knows that they need those things, that he is certainly aware that we need those things. And the insinuation is that he will take care of us in those needs. Verse 32. We need to get our priorities straight. God, serving him, living in faithfulness before him, and trusting him with our needs and cares, that must take priority over everything else. Verse 33, again, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When we trust in God, then what does the Apostle Paul say in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7? Then God's peace will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In fact, Paul describes the peace of God as being beyond understanding. You might say, well, what do you mean I'm beyond understanding? For somebody who has not experienced it, how do you explain it to them? It's something that can only be really fully understood by abiding in that, living in that peace. God offers it to you. And so that is an alternative to worrying. Matters of this world need to be put into proper perspective in comparison with faithfulness to God and eternal life in heaven. Matthew 10, 37, and John 12 and verse 25. Is there such a principle as appropriate concern over some situation that confronts us in this physical life? Certainly there is. But concern should motivate us to analyze the situation, and take appropriate steps where we can to deal with that situation and then trust God to see us through as we pray for him to do so. Worry can actually end up shutting God out of our thought process and leave us trying to figure out how we, on our own and by ourselves, can fix whatever it is that we're worrying about. You see, we need God every step of the way every day of our lives. I want to leave you again with these six questions. I can't see your answers. Just answer them honestly to yourself. First, list the main things about which you find yourself worrying most often. Be honest about it. Second, is there anything about which you are worrying at this time? Third, what effect does your worrying have on you personally? Stop and think, analyze. This will take some careful self-analysis, and be honest. Fourth, what were you worrying about 1 year ago today? Can you even remember? Fifth, has worry made things, made your life better or worse? And how? And then last, have you learned any lessons about worrying? Have you learned anything through our study on this particular problem of the heart from a spiritual perspective? We'd like to help you to have a fuller, more faithful, more dedicated, and more satisfying life as a Christian, a true follower of Jesus Christ and God the Father. You can contact us through our website at churchofchrist.com. You can click on the email link and contact us that way, and we can actually have a conversation by email. Or you can phone us at 402-498-8397. If you'd like to get further into God's Word on your own, we'll send you a free Bible study through the postal mail, and it will be free. All you have to do is ask. Let's pray together. Father, help us to put worry out of our minds, out of our hearts, as we live before you in faithful obedience, trusting you to take care of us and to give us your wisdom and guidance to get through every situation in our lives in this world. Help us to grasp the promises from your word and to lean upon you in faithfulness as we pray for your guidance, for your wisdom, for your solutions, for your protection. And help us to be these examples to the people all around us, because people so desperately need to come to you on such a widespread basis. Please forgive us, gracious Father, and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.